Well, hello there. Greetings, salutations, buongiorno, hola. This is Brace for Impact here on Wrestle Attic Radio. I am your host with the most, Nate the Effin' Great. I went a little Scottish there, Nate the Effin' Great. Here to talk about a very special show in TNA and covering a couple of news and notes worthy in the TNA wrestling realm here. Ladies and gentlemen, this past week we had TNA Sacrifice, and it was main evented by Moose and Eric Young. We actually got the chance to do a watch along in our Discord, which you guys need to definitely take advantage of that, be a part of it, because we do watch alongs quite very often, actually. It all started mainly last year with, I think at WrestleMania was probably the first one that we actually did, or one of the highlighted ones that we did, where it's like, okay, we have this awesome deal going on, let's actually add more to it. So last year was basically the first year that we did it, and now we are creeping up on the 1 year. We may have passed the 1 year marker, because we may have also watched Royal Rumble as well at that point. But you guys need to be definitely a part of the Discord server. Definitely check us out at @attic_wrestle on the Twitter feed. Looked at the LinkedIn link, and you will find the link to get you to the Discord server. We would love to have you guys a part of that. And you get to be a part of some great conversations about everything that is going on in the world of wrestling today, as well as opinions on certain matters, one of which does involve TNA. I am the headliner for that one. I try to bring up as many TNA relevant conversations as I can. Let's talk about Sacrifice right now. We had the pre-show, which had Crazy Steve defeating Joe Hendry, who filled in for Laredo Kid, who could not compete at that show. This was for the Digital Media Championship. Crazy Steve retained. Speedball Mountain, Mike Bailey, and Trent Seven defeated the Rascals, Miguel and Zachary Wentz. Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz. For some reason, I thought they were the same. We had the first matchup on the card, which was Nick Nemeth defeating Steve Macklin. And honestly, you guys, we tried to enjoy that matchup as much as we could. The problem was that there was a lot of disruptions during the show, the streaming deal, or the feed just kept cutting in and out. So we missed a good chunk of that matchup. But from what we saw, Nick Nemeth and Steve Macklin, they definitely put on a bit of a barn burner, actually. So it was really cool to see Nick Nemeth on a big stage. The guy recently just won the global championship from New Japan, which, hey, he's definitely seeing a lot of success, and it's long overdue. Just hopefully he can continue this without getting injured, because when you get older, the wear and tear on your body definitely gets to be easier to come by. We had The System, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, with Alicia Edwards at ringside, defeating ABC, Chris Bay, and Ace Austin for the TNA World Tag Team Championships. This was a bit of a shock to me. I know that they definitely were trying to hype up that The System was going to win their matches tonight, and that The System works. So part one seems to be complete. PCO defeated Khan in a no disqualification matchup. This matchup, I really didn't have much to really say about it. It just was kind of there. This matchup here kind of rode me a bit the wrong way. And I'm just looking at the time now. I cannot believe that this lasted only 2 minutes and 34 seconds. Spitfire, Danny Luna, and Jody Threat defeated MK Ultra, Killer Kelly, and Masha Slamovich for the TNA Knockouts World Tag Team titles. They literally had MK Ultra winning the titles from DK about a month ago, and now they just lost them. So now there's a little bit of a hot potato deal going on here. Hopefully, they can allow Spitfire to just keep the titles on them for a little while longer. I don't know if there's any other deals here, because they actually showed a little bit of friction between Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich. Masha kind of, left Killer Kelly behind, kind of shoved her away, showed a little bit of friction between the two of them. So I think that's the route they're going to be going, is that they're going to split the team up, which I'm sad to see because MKUltra is awesome. We had the big rematch, and this was my match of the night. Hammerstone defeated Josh Alexander in a rematch from Hard to Kill. This matchup was great, and it ended with Hammerstone hitting a low blow and then finished the matchup. So we are more than likely going to get a third fall between them. Third matchup, I should say. And honestly, if it's 2 out of 3 falls, I think that would be better. There's an instinct in me that's like, oh, they're going to go into the Iron Man match route. Maybe not. We'll have to kind of wait and see. Mustafa Ali and the Grizzled Young Vets defeated Time Machine, which is Chris Sabin, Kushida, and Alex Shelley. Really good matchup here. This is probably like second best matchup of the evening. We had the 3-way matchup for the Knockouts World Championship. Jordan Grace defeating Tasha Steeles and Zaya Brookside. This matchup was okay, to say the least. It was definitely passable. It was just one of those things where I feel like the only reason why they made this was so that it seemed like there was a good chance that Jordan Grace was going to lose the title, and she's basically beaten everybody one-on-one on the roster. So what is the next step? You got to make a multi-person matches. So now it's going to seem a little bit more threatening. That's just the way I see it. Then we had main event, which was Moose defeating Eric Young for the TNA World Championship. This matchup, it was really weird because I sing praises about Eric Young quite a bit, and I love a lot of his matches. The thing is, though, that this matchup just, something just didn't click. Something felt kind of off. It just seemed like there was something that was missing. Either the selling was not done right, or the just chemistry did not mesh well together. Just something didn't feel right about this matchup. And it's really weird to say that, because these guys are both great, but together they are not compatible. All in all, it was a pretty good show. I'm looking forward to when I can do a full review on this show. But right now, I just wanted to go through like the highlights about them before going to talking about what I really want to talk about. And that is this episode of TNA Impact that took place January 29th, if I remember correctly, 2009. And this is all about the Mafia taking over. I mean, I look at the timestamp of this show, and it was about 1 hour and 30 minutes. And to be honest, guys, that 1 hour was the first hour is so vastly entertaining. And that's what you're going to notice with this review, is that I'm not going to go too deep into the match quality, because honestly, it's what you kind of would expect. And you'll definitely find out why that is when I go into talking about them. But I definitely wanted to talk about some of the entertaining aspects of this show. I mean, oh my gosh, there's like so many notes on here, guys. And I'll explain definitely why right here. So I have this entitled TNA Mafia Takeover Mafia, which honestly is an apropos title for this episode and works out very nicely. So we get an opening package hyping up the Mafia. They're talking about how these guys have been busting their asses to basically give you the best entertainment. That 75 plus years, they're going to make sure that this wrestling world, you know, is taken by storm. And it all builds up to Kurt Angle. He's in the back. He's in Jeff Jarrett's desk. He's basically got a headset on. Talk about making sure that everything is all set and ready to go. Gimmick behind this is that the Mafia has taken over the show completely. And this is layer one. There are so many damn layers to this show that make it very interesting. Interesting for most, but entertaining for me. And I will tell you why soon enough. So Kurt Angle's making sure everything's good. Jim Cornette comes in and he says that they can't just hijack the show, that he has good authority to kind of stop them. And Kurt Angle just responds, "Who's going to stop us?" And this is the probably one major critique I kind of have about TNA during this time, is that they just treat Jim Cornette so poorly. This is a guy who is supposed to be one of the authoritative figures of TNA. He's kind of like the general manager. But then they have, you know, Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley there. They're kind of the, it's kind of like when they did the whole general manager commissioner kind of deal when they had Stephanie and Shane as the commissioners, and then they had, I think it was Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan as the general managers of Raw and SmackDown. So it's kind of those things where it's like, if you're going to have multiple authority figures, then why don't you just reduce it down to one? It just makes more sense. That's what I kind of feel like is going on with Jim Cornette, is that he's kind of there. Honestly, I would prefer Jim Cornette as opposed to Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley, just because I feel like he just gives a lot more with it. And he has that really good assertive tone to be an authoritative figure. And honestly, his early stuff in when he was in TNA, I enjoyed him. I really liked it. But here they're just making it seem like he's just a pushover. And it even gets hypocritical later on in the show, which I'll get to. So, that being said, Jim Cornette, he just throws his hands up in the air. He sits on the couch, puts his feet up, and he's just like, go ahead, whatever. And that got a chuckle out of me, where it's like, you know what? I feel like this is legit. This is legit Jim Cornette being like, why the hell do I even show up to work? So Kurt does like a final check on everything. He makes sure that Kevin Nash and Booker T, they're set. Charmel's set. Scott Steiner, he's set. And then does the 3-2-1 action. Then we get the it is my destiny. It is the truth. I should stop before we get copyrighted for that. But it's the Cross the Line theme song for TNA. And we get to the Impact Zone, and we are introduced to Kevin Nash and Booker T on commentary, but they are not Booker T and Kevin Nash. No. This is Chet Lemon and Black Snow. And the first thing that they say, and already I was all for this, is that Chet Lemon, Kevin Nash, he says, Pyro Man, blow your load. And we see the pyrotechnics, and it's already turning into a good show so far. They go through the match lineup where they have the Conqueror versus ODB in a handicap match. We've got Booker T versus two referees, because why not? We have Petey Williams versus Matt Morgan, but Petey Williams will have to have his arm tied behind his back. And then in the quote-unquote main event, it's Team 3D versus Sting in a handicap matchup, to which people are like, well, why would they do that? What's to gain from that? Oh, trust me, you're not the only one that questions that, because, yeah, one of the opponents questions Kurt Angle about that, and I will get to that. We get, now, Booker T says that we're going to send it back to Charmel, who is with one dastardly B. And it's really crazy because Booker T just looks straight into the camera like he's breaking the fourth wall. It's wrestling. Of course they're going to break the fourth wall. He just has this look on his face and I'm just dying. Like, what the absolute hell are you doing, Booker? You know what? He's having fun. That's fine. This is probably the most fun he's had since coming to TNA. That's fine. I will tell you guys this. The Booker T's voice changes so much from him being the Booker T man, and then he just goes into this voice here. He like, I'm Black Snow. Like he's an auctioneer at some point. But we go backstage. Charmel is with ODB. And I will tell you guys this, that every time Charmel is doing the backstage deal, she is just giving herself so many adjectives. Like she's the sensational Charmel, the amazing Charmel, the breathtaking Charmel. She's just literally hyping herself up. And I will tell you this, that in this first promo, she gets some good digs in. This was literally one of those moments where I'm like, wow, this is Charmel at like A quality burn master right here. So she's going to talk to ODB. And one thing to note is that we actually do get the debut of the Main Event Mafia security, which is Sal and Rocco, I think were their names. Remember, they're just like two big guys that are going to be the security guys for the Main Event Mafia. Basically what it is. But Charmel starts off by saying, ODB, you obnoxious dumb bimbo. I'm literally like, okay, this is good. She talks about the match with the Kongtourage, says that ODB has lots on her mind tonight. She said that she must have a lot on her mind tonight instead of how many men you'll fancy at the truck stop after the show. And I'm already like, oh my god, jeez, Charmel. That's already a good zinger right there. ODB basically says that if this security guy weren't here, I'd be on you like flies on a turd. I'm a child. I thought that was really funny. But ODB says that she's ready to fight King Kong, Godzilla, Taliban, and Queen D. Who's Queen D? Queen D's nuts! Oh, bam! I'm like, oh my god! They're doing this okay, this is still funny. She also says that she's drunk, horny, and ready to kick ass. Then Charmel gets one more zinger in. And Charmel just says one disgusting battle ox. She talks about how the Main Event Mafia escorted Taylor Wilde and Roxy out of the arena, so there's no backup. And ODB's just like, I don't care. I'm ready to go. Let's go. So we go to there. And then we go to the ring announcer. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, the one thing that I want to see on Scott Steiner's Hall of Fame package, because this is him at an A-plus quality performance. This is amazing. Even with just this first one, I'm literally like, okay, I am more of a fan of Scott Steiner than I have ever been because of this. So he starts off by saying, you white trash and rednecks, following contest is a 4-on-1 handicap match. What it basically means is four bitches against one. And then we get this line. I don't have this written down, but I literally have it. You know, can't say save because of something there. But here's his exact words, because I repeat this so much and it's so fucking funny. He starts off by saying, like, introducing first, Joan Bolt, Rush. Hey, I haven't slept with any one of these bitches. How am I supposed to know what their names are? And I'm dead. I'm like, holy shit, Scott Steiner. Said, like, three bitches and the TNA Knockouts champion, Awesome Kong, collectively known as Kongfucius. And Chet Lemon is just like, I think he means to say Kongtourage. To which I now say, no, it's Kongfucius from now on. Thank you, Scott Steiner, for that, Jim. That is ingenious. And then we get to him announcing ODB, where he says, coming to a truck stop near you, one dirty bitch, ODB. I'm like, okay, he got the full thing in. That's great. So we get ODB versus Kongfucius. I'm just going to go through the matchup right now. This is really nothing spectacular. It's just ODB gets a chance to work with Sojo, with Raka Khan, and Raish Saeed before getting into the ring with Awesome Kong. She throws out the other three ladies except for Awesome Kong, who literally ODB does like the 10 corner count punches. Then the three women are right behind her. ODB just leaps from Kong onto the three women into a crossbody, which I thought, wow, that's great. Awesome Kong is able to get ODB, hits an implant buster for the 1-2-3, And Confucius picks up the win. Now, normally I don't do this, but that was the match part of it. The best part of this stuff is the commentary with freaking Black Snow and Chet Lemon. And I'm going to go through some of the things that they said here. Black Snow says that Raisha Saeed is so ugly that if you saw her face in the daytime, you'd be wishing it was night. Here's Chet Lemon talking about ODB saying, oh wait, this is the first time I've seen her up close. That's a man, baby! almost like it was Kurt Angle back in, this was a couple years ago when they had the deal where he went on like multiple blind dates. He goes to like a bar and just finds out that the woman's a dude, and Kurt just goes, oh my god, she's a man! I'm just like, oh my gosh. There's almost the exact same reaction, exact same tone. Here's Black Snow saying that ODB's got those handprints on the back of her. Ooh la! Oh my god. Black Snow also calls Raka Khan Raka Khan. I'm just like, oh, whoa, Black Snow, hold on there. You don't want to get canceled. Chet Lemon then says something about like a 4-on-1 and it's not in the bedroom. I'm just like, what? Then I have a point where literally I said, Black Snow, what the hell did you say? Says something like, oh, she hit that shit. She got a nice little shot to the abs after. Or the Abdullah Lambalagata. I'm just like, what on earth are you saying? Then when ODB's in the corner doing punches, Black Snow says, it's in flaps like a butterfly, but stings like an ODB. Then he mentions like how ODB has this random like shoulder injury. I don't think that there was. But then when she gets hit with the implant buster, it looks like her legs kind of catch the ropes. So Black Snow is just like, oh, that'll tear an ACL there. Oh, my goodness. As Booker T's doing all this stuff, as Black Snow's doing all this, we go to the camera and Black Snow is just talking away. Chet Lemon just has this face of like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, he is like, not that he hates this guy, he's just literally almost to the point of like, I think I'm done. What the hell? So, there we go to Black Snow saying, like, go on back to babyface Kurt Angle. To which that got me rolling. And Kurt is just so happy about this. Like, you see that? This is going to be great. This is already a great show. Jim Cornette talks about how they're going to have to deal with, like, not necessarily, like, legal fees, but just stuff about medical deals. And JB's just like, yo, calm down. I'll talk to him. And JB says, I got this, to which I'm like, okay then. And JB's just trying to reason with Kurt, basically saying like, you know, we don't have to go through with this. I mean, there is a chance that somebody could get really, really hurt. Or, you know, we could just go right back to the original format. Is that okay? And Kurt's just literally like, screw you, JB. The point of this is to get people hurt. And JB says that Mick Foley is on his way with some backup, and Kurt just no-sells this, literally just laughing his ass off. I think there's maybe a gif of Kurt Angle like laughing in a chair, kicking his feet around. That is the moment that this happens, and it's pretty comical. And he says that JB, ever since, you know, Karen kind of left, he's backed a little bit weird towards me. And honestly, guys, this is not the first time we've kind of addressed something like this. There's a segment years ago where Kurt's just in a tanning bed. JB just keeps opening up and down. Kurt accuses him of looking at his package. Then there's a weird moment where Kurt Angle's like, do you have my underwear? Because his clothes got stolen. And JB's like, I don't even wear underwear. And Kurt's just like, oh, go commando. Nice. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? So this is another one of those weird moments where it almost made it seem like, you know, JB is saying like, you know, I have strong feelings for you. No homo. And Kurt's just literally like, dude, you're a weirdo. Get the hell out of here. Oh, by the way, here's some merch for Main Event Mafia. Go sell it to go sell it to the fans. Basically, he is not doing an interview job. He's just literally being told, you got to go out, sell that merchandise to the fans. And if you even try to take any money from him, he says that he'll make sure that you'll never walk again. As soon as JB walks out, you hear Jim Cornette. He is still on the couch. And he goes, way to handle things, JB. And that got me good. I hear Kurt Angle just going, shut up. I just thought that was funny. We go backstage to Sharmell again, who's interviewing Rudy Charles and Andrew Thomas, two TNA referees. And Sharmell again getting another zinger in here, where she asks the question, what are you going to do after Booker cripples both of you tonight? Maybe you could ref a wheelchair basketball event? I mean, the referees have to be in wheelchairs as well, right? And I'm just like, wow, that is not only meta, that is so mean. Andrew Thomas, he basically says that, yo, he's not a wrestler. This is not something he signed up for. Sharmell gets a shot on Earl Hebner, basically saying that, you know, you and Shane Sewell have been enjoying the displeasures of Booker T. Ain't that right? And Earl Hebner just walks out. Rudy Charles is confident because he mentions on the back of his TNA card, which I thought to myself, oh, geez, that's a good plug, that he has an amateur wrestling background. And basically, he says that he basically tells Andrew Thomas, we got this. We got this. Andrew Thomas is like, no, we're literally fighting Booker T. There's no way that this is going to happen. And Rudy Charles is like, I got this. We got this. Come on. Ooh, and this is something else. But first, let's hear from our friendly neighborhood Scott Steiner, who says that final contest is a handicap match. Introducing first the two refs who have no chances because they're a bunch of candy asses. Both of them have first names. I have no idea why. Rudy Charles and Andrew Thomas, they come out. Andrew Thomas, he tries to leave like as they're coming down the rampway, but Rudy Charles is just basically be like, no, we got this. Yeah, we're going to get to the Booker T stuff in a minute, but just going to get through the match, get it out of the way. Booker T, he does a stiff clothesline, a punch to Rudy Charles, does an arm twist kick, a brutal axe kick to Rudy Charles. My God, this guy was just selling for Booker T like no tomorrow. We get a little tag in with Andrew Thomas getting in. He basically does like the, I guess the best way to put it is like the George Mizanin deal from WrestleMania 35, where he got his arms up to Shane McMahon. I think that's the best way of putting it. But he eats a clothesline. He gets chopped like crazy. He eats a sidekick. Booker T hits Andrew Thomas with the bookend and a tight pin. I mean, this thing, he just wrenched on. He just grabbed both legs. One, two, three. Matchup's over. Booker T, he goes for Earl Hebner. But then Shane Sewell, he comes in, beats down Booker T until Booker T's just like, nah, we ain't going to do that, man. Boom, go kick you in the gut, axe kick. He's done. Now, Black Snow and Chet Lemon. What have they had to say during this matchup? Oh, it's good. So Black Snow is just running down all the accomplishments that Booker T has done. Yes, Booker T and Black Snow are the same person, so this only made sense. Black Snow just talks about him being a former United States champion, world champion, tag team champion, just running down all these deals. Basically, Chet Lemon is just like, you need to, if you do not pop these guys, they need to get their ass kicked. Booker T is drinking water, and Black Snow's just like, oh, Booker T, get a nice little drink of water, get ready, I'm Black Snow. He takes his headset off, and Chet Lemon's just like, well, my broadcast partner is going to be leaving, and oh my God, there's Booker T! Booker T's here for the first time tonight! And this gets crazier, because as Booker T's coming down the rampway. I hear that with huge quotations. Booker T just has this look on his face of a crazy-eyed man where he just eyes wide and looks like a thousand-yard stare. It is so funny. So with Booker T in the ring and Black Snow nowhere to be seen, we get Scott Steiner on commentary. He calls the referees a candy ass to the nth degree, which I thought that was funny as hell. But then there came a point where Booker T is beating down these referees, and Scott Steiner, when Booker T is about to do a move, he's like, it's going to be a hand or a foot. It's going to be a hand or a foot. Foot, like it's going to be a clothesline or a boot or something like that. It's so funny. Chet Lemon gets a zinger in where he's like, oh, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Earl did screw Brett. And he also makes another comment where he says, wasn't Andrew Thomas a former WWE champion? I'm like, what the fuck? Chet Lemon, he plugs the TNA app or the TNA hotline, quote unquote. I really don't think that he did. I think he just threw like a random number in there. And basically he says, who's going to be the next Main Event Mafia member? If you'll like it, I'll send you a naked shot of myself. And Scott Steiner, after the match is over, he is yelling into the microphone that Booker T has won. He doesn't even like get an actual microphone. He says it from the headset. Chet Lemon is literally like, wow, you do really, really good. And Scott Steiner is like, yeah, I get double pay. And Chet's like, what? I'm only getting paid one time. And Scott's just like, bring up with Kurt. I thought that was funny. So Kurt Angle, again, just ecstasy of happy that this happened. They have a deal where he's talking to Chet Lemon, saying like, oh, there's this woman in the like third row. Can we zoom in on her? Do you think you can get her to show off her boobs? It's one of those things where it's like, okay, this is like Monday Night War West deal. But before they can go any further, Sting comes in. He is pissed about the fact that he's got to fight Team 3D in a handicap matchup. Sting literally says in that matchup that we have with Team 3D, where it's a four-way, all four of them are fighting each other for the TNA World title. Do you want Sting friend or Sting foe? To be honest, it's a good question, and I'll find out when I get to that show. Charmelle is backstage with Matt Morgan. She's hyping herself up again, and she is mentioning that he is fighting Keebler Factory Petey. That kind of got me again. Morgan talks about him being the biggest gladiator, having his DNA sent to NASA, and that this challenge is just encompassing them all. But then he gets serious and talks about that there's no sympathy for anyone, and that Abyss needs to watch this matchup because this is only going to be a small taste of what you can expect of him against all odds. And I think this is where he started really pushing home the genetically jacked, athletically stacked big man of all time. I think this is where he really started getting into that. All right, so up next we have Matt Morgan versus Petey Williams, or as I have it in my notes here, One-Armed Petey. So, matchup starts. Petey Williams has his arm tied behind his back. He gets a dropkick in, but then eats a massive clothesline from Matt Morgan. We get some corner elbows, a corner splash, a side slam. 1, 2. Matt Morgan lifts up Petey's head. And Booker T's just literally like, oh, Petey's got some fighting him. We get a fallaway slam. Again, 2 count because Matt Morgan decides to pull the head up. As Matt Morgan is distracted by Scott Steiner, they're talking about how to handle Petey Williams. Referee Slick Johnson, he unties Petey Williams' arm, and then Petey tries to fake it like, oh, I'm still tired up. But then Petey Williams is able to fight back. He's doing that when he can. He gets a sling code buster, even though it's supposed to be a code breaker, but I think even Booker T called it like a knee buster kind of maneuver, if I'm not mistaken. Hits a missile dropkick. Petey Williams attacks Scott Steiner. And then Matt Morgan hits the carbon footprint for the win. He hits the elevator for good measure after the matchup. And Steiner locks in the Steiner recliner. Oh, then we get to quite possibly one of the best segments on this show. is Scott Steiner. Actually, it's more the post-match deal that makes this even better. So Scott Steiner, he introduces Matt Morgan, and then before he brings out Petey Williams, he literally looks at the camera. He says, "I got a message for Barack Obama. Stop building a wall, keeping the Mexicans out. Build a wall to keep those filthy Canadians from getting in." I was like, oh my gosh, fucking Scott Steiner's the GOAT. He calls Petey Williams make-belief muscle, which I thought was a good burn. Booker T's just like, oh, Petey Williams, he moving like a birdie all around. And Chet and Black Snow are literally stating that Petey Williams could be like their cleanup guy. Then there just came a point where during the fall away slam spot, Black Snow just goes, I'm Black Snow. Oh, Black Snow. He's just losing it at this point. You're making a big mistake with Big Papa. When he said Big Papa, I almost died again. Chet Levin, he just goes, hey, I don't know if you know this, but Morgan is big. And the elevator, according to Black Snow, is not called the elevator. It's called the Blueprint Pump, which, again, got a belly laugh out of me. Chet Lemon claims that Petey Williams cost him $1,000 because he lost. Then comes one of the best things ever. We have members of the front line. I think it's... I know there's Jay Lethal, Xavier Woods, and Eric Young, I believe it was. They come in. They're trying to get Matt Morgan and Scott Steiner off of Petey. Blackstone's just like, oh, here come Booker T, here come Booker T. And you hear that headset just being thrown on the table. Booker T, he gets into the ring with a microphone in hand. And he is just weighing lace. He's commenting on beating up the front line. He's just be like, oh, Booker T, go get a nice old kick here. Boom! Go get a kick here. Boom! He's just commenting on this. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is insane. Chet says, like, I would get in there and get involved and work for the staph infection. So I thought, oh, he's still recovering from that. That sucks. And then Black Snow just says, Booker T, getting Xavier Woods up for that sidekick. Boom! Oh, Booker T, he's measuring up Petey Williams, Petey Williams in the corner. He's just sitting there. Oh, Booker T's the man. Just like, oh my God, this is insane. We get to the main event of this Main Event Mafia takeover. Team 3D, they come out. They are the new IWGP Tag Team Champions because they won those titles. I want to say it was actually it was either their big show, or it could have been at Wrestle Kingdom. Honestly, just imagining Team 3D at Wrestle Kingdom is kind of amazing. Actually, we have Booker T going like, "I'm Black Women, I'm Black Snow, and that's Chet Lemon. You can talk to Booker T some other time, but I'm Black Snow." Chet Lemon also gets a couple shots in where Brother Ray, he has a microphone in hand, basically say like, hey, fire the chick that gave that man a mic. During the promo, Team 3D call himself one of the best, and Chet Lemon's like, best team? Harlem Heat is in the house. So, I mark him down as Bully Ray, because I refuse to call him anything else other than I'm just going to call him Bully Ray from now on. So Bully Ray says that he feels bad about having this matchup with Sting, but then he doesn't, because when he got beat down by the members of the Main Event Mafia, except for Sting, Sting did nothing. And he's just asking, you know, why the lies? Why are you lying to yourself? Why are you lying to me? Why are you lying to all these people? And stating that Team 3D is going to be walking out with the world title at Against All Odds. Scott Steiner announces Team 3D as from Dunkin' Donuts all the way from the state of obesity, Team 3D. To which I'm like, oh man. This is back when Bully Ray was a bit of a chubby, was a bit of a fluffy guy. We got Team 3D versus Sting. That's basically all you really need to know. Sting and Bully kind of yell at each other. They exchange offense. Ray gets attack on Scott Steiner, but pays for it. Ray gets some offense in. So does Devon. Kurt and Scott kind of get involved. Sting hits the Stinger Splash, goes for a corner punch. But then we get the Doomsday Device by Team 3D. Kurt comes in, attacks Team 3D, and they beat down on Team 3D. Booker T gets a table. They set it up. And this is where Mick Foley and LAX with Abyss make the save for this. Now we get into the Chet Lemon Black Snow segment here. So Chet Lemon Black Snow during this matchup, Snow for some reason just says hoopla. I'm like, what? He mentions how Team 3D have won a lot of tag team titles from the ECW, which he called an indie organization. I'm like, damn, bro. But then it gets better because he says, oh, only about 8 of those title reigns were legit titles. I was like, damn. But we also get Charmel on commentary, and she doesn't really add too much to this, except for one line, which I thought was funny. We get horny Booker T, a.k.a. Black Snow on this. Totally different person. Where Black Snow just is like, I'm going to butter you like a biscuit. I'm like, dude, just calm down. So, also they get a mention of Blade Runners in this. Because he mentioned Sting and Jim Hellwig, a.k.a. with the Ultimate Warrior, were a team at one point. I'm like, oh, shit. Then there's just one line that really got me was that Black Snow says, like, Bully Ray's going to drop all 42 inches on you. I'm like, damn, that is a huge insult. Then we have him say, like, say to Sting, like, come chat with Chet Lemon and Black Snow. I think he was about to call himself Blue Snow for some reason, to which I'm like, that would have made sense. I mentioned at this point, this is where he just starts talking like an auctioneer. Then Black Snow makes a comment where he says, like, those donuts with the black toxins. That's why he was able to kick out of that regular DDT, brother Bully Ray, kicking out of a regular DDT but from Sting. And then once again, here come Booker T. We already mentioned, there was a table in the ring. That's where we got to that point. Mick Foley, he basically lays down the law where he reinstates Hernandez's Feaster Fired title shot. Because about a couple weeks before this show, Hernandez actually had a match with Sting, but because of a disqualification, they decided that, no, we're not going to let Hernandez lose that title shot because of that. So Foley basically says, like, oh, you only had one shot, but here's another one for you. He announces that it'll be Abyss versus Scott Steiner, with Abyss allowed to use as many weapons as he wants, and Scott Steiner cannot. It would have made more sense if they would have just made a regular hardcore match, in my opinion, but that's just me. Kurt Angle gets booked against LAX, and that's the main event. Charmel says that it's discrimination against the Mafia. That was the part where I was like, okay, that's funny. Jim Cornette backstage with Lauren, JB, Mike Tenay, and Don West, basically saying that they are back in control. Mike and Don are going to be going back to the announce booth, and Jim Cornette has an announcement in regards to Against All Odds, which we come back. They do a rundown of the Against All Odds card. Jim Cornette announces as a traction matchup Booker T versus Shane Sewell. They don't announce it for the Legends title at this point, which I think would have made this more unpredictable. But at the same time, Booker T does have a title, so he's got to kind of defend it more frequently. Which goes into the match between Scott Steiner and Abyss. Nothing really to say much about this matchup. These guys get some back and forth action. Abyss goes through a wall when he tried to plow over Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner hits his elbow. Steiner gets hit in the head with a trash can and a chair, and he gets a bit of a small cut on his head that kind of bleeds out a bit more as time goes on. Abyss gets a choke slam to a trash can to Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner uses the pipe on Abyss, which causes the DQ. Scott Steiner beats down on Abyss with the chair, beating down Abyss until Suicide comes in and makes the save, and then he disappears after beating up Scott Steiner. That's really about it. We have a plug for the Toughest Cowboy, to which I'm like, oh, great, so we gotta plug this in because it's right after. Got it. They even mentioned that they had like a previous winner of Toughest Cowboy on there. And Beer Money, they come in. They basically state that they could handle riding a bull. And James Storm made a comment where he says, like, you know how I could do that? Because I rode your mama for more than 8 seconds. And then they just cut right there. Up next is the main event, which is Kurt Angle versus the Latin American Exchange in a handicap matchup. LAX, they get an early advantage with a couple of tag team maneuvers, a couple splashes in the corner, beat him down. Supermex does his tope to Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle hits a tilt roll backbreaker on Homicide. Homicide counters a ankle lock and the angle slam with a DDT. After Kurt Angle weakens down on Homicide, Hernandez comes in and he is just a house of fire beating down on Kurt. Hits an alpha bomb. 1-2, kick out. Goes for the border toss, but then runs and charges and hits a turnbuckle. No, he hits a ring post. I apologize. Homicide hits the gringo cutter. And then he goes for the gringo killer. But Kurt Angle counters that into the angle slam, picking up the victory, giving Kurt Angle the momentum going into Against All Odds. Then we conclude the show with Samoa Joe. He has his back to the camera. He says, Main Event Mafia, it's time for you to meet the real. Turns around, Samoa Joe. And he has the Nation of Violence war paint. Or as I like to call it, the dick face tattoo. Because so many people I have heard reference this and they say it looks like a dick. And they're not wrong. It does look bad. But that being said, all in all, other than I think the match with Abyss and Scott Steiner, I feel like this was a very entertaining show. You have great wrestling with Kurt Angle and LAX. And then you also had the great commentary, which carried most of the show. Otherwise, yeah, those handicap matches, squash matches, they were just kind of there. But like I said, the commentary just made it so much vastly entertaining. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to review the show so badly. Because I've seen so many people talk about this episode, and it's like, okay, I need to watch this for myself and give it a, you know, positive look on it. Or maybe I'll just be like, oh, these people are just don't know what they're talking about. Honestly, I definitely see it. I see why people talk so highly about this episode. It's such a clusterfuck of madness, but it is one of the best clusterfucks of madnesses that I have ever seen with wrestling. Just have literally two veterans on commentary shooting the breeze. You have one of their wives in the back promoting herself and then getting a couple zingers in. You have an Olympic gold medalist who is one of the most bastardly heels that you can imagine being the most bastardly he could be. And then you have Scott Steiner, who is one of the greatest ring announcers of all time. I defy anybody to tell me otherwise. He's a great promo. He's great at commentary. He's great on the microphone when he needs to be a ring announcer. This guy can do no wrong at this point. So that was the TNA TakeOver Mafia edition of Impact. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. So thank you guys so much for listening in. I am going to try and get Against All Odds in the next couple of weeks. If I do not, I do apologize, you guys. I do have another commitment that is going on right now, which is I'm actually in a production called Noses Off, and it's taking up a lot of my time right now. So I'm going to try to get that. Otherwise, you will definitely have something from me in April the latest. But with that being said, that should not stop you guys from listening in to every other podcast that is a part of the Wrestle Addict Radio family. That includes the Kings of the Rings podcast, Fretzelmania podcast, and the Young Lions Perspective. Three fantastic, great, talented podcast shows that you definitely do not want to miss out on. Definitely check that out. Check out all of their social media links, which you can check in on Linktree, but also will be at @addict_wrestle on the X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it. I do not care at this point. You can also check me out on X as well as on Instagram at RealFNGame. You also check out our merch because we got quite a bit of it. And honestly, you guys, I think it's going to be really cool that you guys show your support handling that. We are on a lot of huge formats, including Spotify. Definitely check us out on there. And for the rest of, for this week, definitely check out, like I said, all the shows that I mentioned before. This is always fun to do. I'm looking forward to seeing how things are going. Things are definitely going up as far as TNA are going. So we're just going to have to wait and see how it goes from there. So with that being said, I've been Nate the Effort Great. You've been listening to Brace for Impact. Thank you guys so much for listening in. I will see you guys in the next episode. And just remember that you can talk to Booker T any other time, but I'm Black Snow. Black Snow. Black Snow says, have a good night. Have a good day. Black Snow says, thank you so much. And Chet Lemon says, hey, you'll probably get a naked pic if you send it to this number. The number is